doing things a little bit maybe in a different order to what you normally usually do. But you know, the one thing that doesn't change is the Word of God. And you know, we might juggle things around, but when we come to the Word of God, this is where God is going to speak to us. I'm going to hold this if that's okay. Yeah, God's going to speak to us in a very special way. And I chose the wedding at Cana because, you know, I love to be invited. I invited you to my concert to help raise money for Haven's Hospices, a hospice that's very close to my heart as I work as a chaplain there. And I had the privilege of leading someone to the Lord this week, you know, and I'm so privileged to do that. And a middle-aged lady who I never really spoke to very much, I helped the husband and I helped him come to terms with what was happening to his wife. And you know, we're given that privilege. And you know, Paul the Apostle, and I said it actually in prayers this morning, we're going to mention it in this message today. Paul the Apostle, when he was Saul of Tarsus, when he was on the road to Damascus, Jesus said to him, "This is my chosen instrument." Said to, you know, "This is going to take my name to the Gentiles, to kings. He's going to be used by me. And you and I, we are chosen instruments." And you know, I thank God that I had an opportunity just to guide somebody towards him this week and to help that husband that was struggling so much. He actually said to me he wants a non-religious service. And you know, I said to him, "Well, I can do that. But there's a part of the service that has to be, in your terms, in what you're saying, religious. Because we have to commit the person to the Lord Jesus. And within that time, in his terms, there'll be a religious part. But it'll be a part that will bring the gospel to those to hear." And that's what we're doing this morning. We're going to listen to what God's going to say to us this morning. So John chapter 2, verse 1 to 11. It starts off saying that on the third day, this wedding took place. Now I looked into the Jewish laws for the third day. And it was interesting that in verse 1, when it says the third day is actually a Tuesday. Because their Sabbath was a Saturday. So we can assume that Sunday being the first day, Monday being the second, Tuesday being the third. Third day. It's a day that's recognized even today in the Jewish religion. Is that they have weddings quite often. Not always, but quite often on a Tuesday. Tuesday is known as a day for sacrificial washing. For purification. It came from the law of Moses. That's where it was introduced. It began there. Instructions were given throughout the time of the Torah, which is the first five books of the Bible. First five books of the Old Testament. For everyone to wash for purification of the body as a full body immersion. And as I said, even today, weddings still occur, mostly on the third day, the Tuesday. So at this wedding, Jesus didn't use the water to wash. He replaced the water of purification into wine, representing a new covenant. We just took the wine as a new covenant. Jesus said, "This is the wine of a new covenant in my body." A new covenant. The wine to represent his blood. The blood that will be shed for forgiveness of sins at Calvary. So coming back to the wedding. Jesus' mother and his disciples and Jesus were given an invitation. You know, an invitation is so important. We invited you this morning to take the bread and the wine. We invited you to take part in this service by bringing yourselves before our Lord Jesus. They were going to attend this wedding of a couple. They weren't mentioned by name. But you know, God knows. He knew who the couple was. He knew that they would have had 2 years of separation in their relationship where they wouldn't have come together until the wedding. There was two ceremonies. The first one was the betrothal, where they were committed to each other And then 2 years following was the wedding, where they celebrated together. They brought their family and friends together. Jesus, a very special guest that day. So Jesus' mother comes to him and she says, they have no more wine. And he says, woman. Now, if I spoke to my wife like that, or my mother or whatever, I think she would slap me around the face. Really. I think, woman, where's my dinner? Woman, where's my, you know. But he said, woman, and I'm sure he didn't say it nasty, but he said, woman, why do you involve me? So interesting that Jesus knew what was yet to come. But he said, why do you involve me? He said, my time has not come yet. It's not time. We know that his time for ministry had come, so he must have been referring to Calvary, as I said earlier. Mary, seemingly ignoring his words, calls to the servants. She says, do whatever he tells you. Whatever Jesus says, do what he tells you. Are we obedient to that when we hear God's word? I'd like to say yes. I'd like to say every time yes. But maybe sometimes I haven't. I don't know. But do whatever he tells you. So nearby where these 6 stone jars, water jars were, he says, bring the jars, fill them with water. The jars held anything from 20 to 30 gallons. I mean, that is really heavy, isn't it? What's a fish tank? Have you ever had tropical fish? I mean, there's a lot of water in that tank. You try lifting that. But this jar, 6 of them, 20 to 30 gallons. He said to the servants, fill them up and bring them. Fill them to the brim. Draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet. And again, I said to the children, didn't I? It's like the best man. He was the one organizing the wedding. After tasting the wine, he said, now take it to the bridegroom. The bridegroom, amazed at how beautiful and fantastic tasting this wine was. So these jars, they held a special meaning. It wasn't just about the jars. It wasn't about any of that. It was about showing people that there's a God that is in control. There's a God that loves them. There's a God that can do the impossible. To turn water into wine. I mean, I could have done a little trick this morning. I could have had a glass of water and I could have put a little bit of Ribena in secretly and turned the water into wine and everyone go, wow. This wasn't Ribena. This wasn't a trick. Jesus did a miracle. He turned water into wine. He performed so many miracles, like I said to the children. You know, the lame walked, the blind saw, the deaf heard, the dead was raised. He performed miracles, so many more than probably is mentioned in Scripture. So I looked at 5 key words this morning. All beginning with the letter I. I'm a bit like that. I did that last time, didn't I? I do this quite often. I like to find words that link up with the message. So the first 5 words that I've chose is invitation, intercession, instruction, instrument, and inspiration. All of those words is part of this message. All of these words is part that we can relate to in our lives. So I've broken down each one. The first one, invitation. Step 1, I've called it. If we want to experience a miracle, we must first invite Jesus into our lives. It's one of the things I do regularly when I speak to people at Havens. I invite them to invite Jesus into our conversations. I ask them to invite God into their lives, into their difficulties. Ask God to help them. It has to be an invitation. God doesn't just do things without an invitation. Do you remember that William Holst with the standing at the door and knock? There has to be an invitation. There's no handle on the outside. Somebody has to open the door and welcome Jesus in. It's an invitation. Revelation 3 verse 20 says exactly that. Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him. So let's look at the second step, verse 3 and 4. The second step is to come before our Lord Jesus and make our request known to him. We must take all of our burdens to him instead of carrying them ourselves. He will carry our burdens for us. That's intercession. That's how Jesus intercedes for us. When we are in difficulties, when we are burdened by various things, and we all suffer those at different times of our lives, and maybe there's someone here today that's suffering with something that's really burdening them, Jesus says, I'll carry them for you. Share them with me. He will intercede. Third word, instruction. Find that in verse 5 of John chapter 2. Step 3, instruction, is to be obedient, to live according to his holy word, the holy word that he's given to us, so that we can understand what his commands are, what he's saying to us. In 1 John chapter 5 verse 3, it says this, this is love for God, to obey his commands. His commands are not burdensome. You know, some people think when you command somebody to do something, it kind of takes away your freedom when you're commanded. But you know, this isn't like that. Understanding God's commands helps us to give our burdens to him. Helps us to rely on him, to trust in him. Knowing that he will do everything possible for us. He can change the impossible into the possible. It's a song I wrote on a special occasion when I was part of a healing service. And that song meant a lot to me as I put those words together, that he is a God of the impossible and he can change situations and circumstances. The fourth one, step 4, instrument. We read that in verse 7 and 8. The Lord uses instruments to perform his miracles. At the wedding of Cana, he used water. That was the instrument he used, turning that water into wine. For the glory of God. For people to start to believe who he was. So the disciples who were doubting started to put their trust in him in a stronger way than they did before. God will use us if we're willing to be his instruments. We can carry his name to those that will listen, those that will hear. I had Jehovah's Witnesses knock on my door last weekend. They're trying to get people to hear. They're trying to get people to listen. They have the door slammed in their face so many times. I won't do that. What I would do is tell them about the love of Jesus that I have in my heart. What I would do is join with them, knowing that there's a God that loves and cares for us. They go about it in the wrong way. There's things that are wrong. But you know, God loves them as well as anybody else. He loves the Hindus. He loves the Buddhists. He loves the Muslims. He loves everybody. And he wants everyone to come to him. So I don't want to shut the door in anyone's face. But I want to talk to them about the love of Jesus. They don't understand the love of Jesus because they work. It's a working. They want to get to that place in heaven where God opens the book and says, yeah, you've worked enough. You've done it. You can come through. Or will he say, I don't know you? You know, I used to worry about that when I first became a Christian. As a youngster, one of the kiddies, I used to worry, is God going to love me if I do things wrong? If he comes back and I've done something wrong, am I going to lose my place in heaven? Of course not. My Bible tells me once you've given your life to Jesus, he holds it in the palm of his hand. I know in whom I've believed, says 1 Timothy 7 verse 12. I know in whom I've believed and I'm persuaded that he can keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Once I was given that scripture as a youngster, I no longer had any more fears. But I still had to do the right thing as much as I could and not continue doing things wrong. Tried my hardest to do the right thing and failed many times. Still do. So we are instruments. Acts chapter 9:15 says it in the road to Damascus with Saul. This man Paul is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings. What a privilege that must have been to hear that. What an incredible thing to know that. You know, I may have told you this story before, but when I wrote the chorus, Praise Him on the Trumpet, Psaltery and Harp, when I wrote that chorus, someone said to me, you know, keep writing songs like that and one day you'll be in our hymn books. And of course it happened. Prophetic word. Someone said to me, you'll touch nations. And I'm thinking, great, I'm going to travel the world. I'm going to go to all these places and I'm going to sing my song and touch people's lives. No, it wasn't that at all. It was the song itself, the words of that song, the meaning of that is going to touch people's lives. Prophetic word, correct. So then think about Paul the Apostle, knowing that he's going to do those things. What was going through his mind? Would he have ever dreamt that he would do what he did in the name of the Lord Jesus that he loved? A chosen instrument, reaching so many people. The life he led of fear, the fear that people had of him, turned into a love for the people. Chosen instruments. And the final word, inspiration. Read in verse 7 and 8. The miracle inspired the disciples to develop their faith and to put their trust in believing he is the one he said he is. He still performs miracles today. God is the same today as he was all those years ago. You know, I look at some of the folks at Havens and I so wish I could give them so much more. And I have to leave it in God's hands. And I remember a lady at my church back in Canvey Island, where I attended for 7 years. Well, before that as well, but 7 years as their pastor. This lady had a brain tumor, and she was only given weeks to live. And we stood together every Sunday morning. We prayed for a miracle. And she got the all clear. She got the all clear. There was not a sign of that tumor in her head. You know, we had somebody who broke their back, could easily have been paralyzed. But God had other plans, and that person survived with no problems at all. That person was me. I fell from a height on the base of my spine, smashing my spine and my vertebrae at the back, at the bottom. I was in a big frame, had operation. Had I moved in a certain way, I could have been paralyzed. God didn't have that in mind. And I have no reaction whatsoever from that day to this. And that would have been 10 years ago, perhaps. Perhaps a bit more. God will do miracles if we believe. And I will always say, it's always according to the purpose and the plan that he has for our lives. Always. So when things doesn't actually work in our minds, when we pray for somebody and it doesn't work, well, we have to leave it in God's hands. We have to. We can't point the finger of blame. I say that to people at Havens regular. Don't point the finger of blame. It's not God's fault. It really isn't. But draw strength from each other. Draw strength from family. Draw strength from God himself. And he will help you through those times. So Jesus, he is our inspiration. He's certainly my inspiration. It helps me to have a deeper relationship with him, a stronger relationship, strengthens my faith in him. When I hear of things, when I see things, when I'm stirred and moved, it draws me closer to God always. When someone accepts the Lord as their Savior and I pray for them, I'm like jumping for joy inside. How much more do the angels dance in heaven? Bible tells us, doesn't it? When someone comes to him. Hebrews 11 verse 1, I love this scripture too. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. The world says seeing is believing. Seeing is believing. If I see it, I'll believe it. It's not about that. It's about having that faith in God that strengthens you to know that he can do it. If he chooses to do it, if he chooses to do it, he gives us a free will. God would do things if it's right for the person. So the conclusion as we come to the end of this message this morning, John 2 verse 10 tells us that the best wine was given to the people. It says, everyone brings out the choice wine first and then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink. In other words, once they've had a great time and the wine's good and they're getting a little bit merry, bring out the old wine, the rough wine. They're not going to notice because they're already kind of enjoying themselves. But no, Jesus doesn't do that. What should have been the roughest wine, the more sour tasting wine, he had the best from top to bottom of that jar. All the dregs go to the bottom. If you've ever been a winemaker or if you know with wine, the dregs go to the bottom of the barrel. Goes to the bottom of the wine. Not this time. You could drink the bottom and it was just as good as the top. The best was kept till last. You've saved the best till now, he says. Do you know, I want to close by saying we are the best in God's eyes. From the top of our heads to the tip of our toes, we are the best. We can use everything we have to glorify God, to lead whoever we meet to him. If people have eyes to see and ears to hear, if they will listen. I never Bible bash. I will never preach to somebody unless they want to hear. Every room I go into in Havens, and we do that every single day, all those patients come from different walks of life. They have different, not always different diagnosis, but different stages of that diagnosis. And you know, I will never go in to Bible bash them. I go in to show them love, to show them care, to show them support. And if an opportunity opens up, I'll talk to them about the Lord. And like last week, lead them to faith. The gates of heaven open for that lady. Thank you, Lord. So we are the best. God thinks of us as the best. We mean more to God than we can ever imagine. We really do. So I'm going to take you back to that statement of faith that I was given that just reminded me that if I sin just before Jesus comes back, which is pretty sure it'll happen, he's still going to hold my faith in him. He's going to hold everything that I've done for him. He's going to look into my heart with my attitude and how I feel about him. He's going to look at that. That's what's going to be in the book when I stand before him and he opens that book. Big light. What was his name years ago with This Is Your Life? Eamon Andrews. This is your life, and your life is unfolded before you. God's going to look at my name in that book and say, there it is, John Kennett. Okay. But I will be judged, as everybody will be judged. So the statement of faith is this. 2 Timothy 1 verse 12. I know in whom I've believed, and I am convinced that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. The day of judgment. The day when Jesus comes back. For years, I've wondered when he would come. Coming to faith in the 60s, we looked for him then. We're now in 2018. Could he come now? I look around at what's happening in the world and I think, it's closer. It's closer. Some of the prophecies in the Bible is leading me to believe it's getting closer. But if it doesn't come in my lifetime, I know I will stand before him one day. And then my statement of faith, 2 Timothy 1 verse 12, tells me that he will hold my commitment to him and I will enter through those gates of heaven. And I'm going to meet all those that's gone before. I'm going to meet that lady who died last week. I'm going to meet her. She prayed the prayer with me. I'm going to go with her. I'm going to see her. I'm going to see my mum. I'm going to see my Aunt Flo. Who's got an Aunt Flo? Yeah, we've all got aunties, haven't we? God spoke to me to lead my Aunt Flo to the Lord. I can't wait to see her again. Can't wait. Very special moment, which I'll tell you about another time. This time is gone. So thank you, Lord, I say this morning, that we are chosen instruments. That we can invite him into our lives. He can intercede for us. He can be our inspiration. So that we can continue serving him to the best of our ability. Not just a Sunday, but every single day of the week. Let's pray together. Loving Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for your words. Those words of encouragement. Those words that draws us closer to you. Father, that wedding invitation. Father, I thank you, Lord, that we can invite you into our lives in so many different ways. And Father, you will always accept the invitation. So Father God, may we leave this place today knowing that, Lord, you are with us. Knowing, Lord, that you care for us, that you love us. And Lord, you will be there for us wherever we go, whoever we meet. You're with us all through the night and all through the day. Your promise is that you will never leave us or forsake us. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to close with a hymn.